Well, we are not supposed to be silent. That Jesus is said to go throughout the world with the gospel. He gave us this mandate. And let's think about that today. Title of sermon would be God Speaks with a Purpose. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. And this is probably a story familiar to all of us. Now the Lord had said to Abram. So God is speaking to Abram. We don't know how. It appears to me as I read these narratives that God spoke audibly to Abram. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. There was a reason for this. Abram's family was idol worshipers. So remember, Israel's not a nation yet. We're going to talk a little bit about that. To a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Now, we want to remember, too, that this promise to Israel still stands today. Okay? God has not revoked this. God does not change, right? And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all the possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So that's significant. We'll talk about that. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So there it is again. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, a lot of times we hear people ask the question, does God speak today? How do you hear from God? Well, we clearly see that God does speak today. And we see that God speaks with a purpose. And if we want the God of the universe to speak to us, we need to be ready for him to reveal himself to us where we are. And in Scripture, God's not seen speaking to people just for the sake of conversation. God is always up to something. He has a plan. He has a purpose in mind. Now, when God spoke to Abram, what was he about to do? And we see that God was about to build a nation. Now notice the timing of God. When did God speak to Abram? Why did he speak at that time? Because it was then that God wanted to begin to build this nation. The moment Abram knew what God was about to do, he had to make an adjustment in his life to follow God. He had to immediately follow what God had said. And Abram did. And as a result, today we are all blessed because of that. Now, the moment that God speaks is the very moment God wants us to respond to him. Now, sometimes we think we may have, you know, take 3 months, 4 months to kind of think about it and decide if this is really God's timing. But the moment God speaks to us, that is the moment of God's timing. And that's why he chooses to speak when he does. He speaks to his servant when he is ready to move. And as God comes in the mainstream of our lives, the timing of a response is crucial. When God speaks to us, we need to believe him and we need to trust him. Now, how long was it from the time that he spoke to Abram? And bear in mind, the name Abram means exalted father. And he would later be called Abraham, a name that means father of nations. So how long was it from the time he spoke to Abram that Isaac, the child of promise, was born? Well, Genesis 12:4 tells us that Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Genesis 21:5 says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So it was 25 years. Now, why did God wait 25 years? I believe it took 25 years to make a father suitable for Isaac. You see, God is concerned not so much about Abram. He is concerned about him, but he's concerned about a nation. And the quality of the father will determine the quality of generations to come. If you have any doubt about that, we can look at the epidemic in our own nation about fatherless homes. As goes the father, so goes the next several generations. God took time to build Abram into a man of godly character. Now, Abram began to adjust his life to God's ways immediately. He had to. He could not wait until Isaac was born to try to become the father that God wanted him to be. So we see that God speaks to us when he has a purpose in mind for our lives. And God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us here. Now, we may not know what that is, but he does. Scripture is very clear about that. And when he speaks, we must immediately respond by adjusting our life to him, to his purposes and his ways. And the moment God speaks is the moment of God's timing. Now, often we're so oriented, especially in our culture, on quick results, that sometimes we abandon the word from God before he's had a chance to develop our character. And God develops character to match the assignment that he has given us. When he called Abram, he said, I will make your name great. Genesis 12:2. And that's what God meant, that he would develop Abram's character. When you think about it, really nothing is more sad or nothing is more pathetic than having a small character and being in a big assignment. Now, many of us, we don't really want to give attention to the development of godly character. We just want the assignment from God. Imagine this situation. You have a minister who's waiting for a big church to call him to be their pastor. Say a small church calls and says, hey, you know, will you come and help us out? You know, be bivocational. Help us out here in the rural areas of southeast Missouri. And the prospective pastor responds, no, I'm waiting for God to give me an assignment. I've done so much training. I don't want to waste my life working a secular job when I can serve church full time. I think I deserve something much more than that, much more important than that. Now, is this a response that's centered on God or centered on self? Yeah, I think we can all see that how centered on self that is. And see, our human reasoning can never give us God's perspective. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Now, the word for wisdom there is shakam, not Shaka Khan, Jay. Shakam. Shaka Khan. It's younger people, they don't get that, so... So if it's older folks do. It's shakam. But seeing things through God's perspective. And that's where we have to come. Our human reasoning can't provide that. I mean, how can it? If we can't be faithful in little, how can God give us the large assignment? Now, God may want to adjust my life and adjust my character in these smaller assignments in order to prepare me for the larger ones. And this is where God starts to work. And when we make those adjustments, when we begin to obey God right where we're at, we come to know him by experience. And this is the goal of God's activity in our lives, that we really come to know him, that we come to know him intimately. All else is secondary. It's so much time we reduce the gospel to sin management. we're so concerned about the do's and the don'ts. And there are do's and don'ts in the Bible. But when you think about it, any journey towards something is a journey away from something. If my focus is on my relationship with Christ and journeying toward Him, I am journeying away from sin at the same time. If our focus is on relationship, on knowing and experiencing God, I become the person that God created me to be. Now, we want to go wherever God leads us, however small or insignificant that may come or appear to be in our eyes. I think we all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Matthew 25:1. Now, we might ask the question, do I automatically assume that a request like the pastor received to go out to the very rural area of southeast Missouri to pastor this small church, that is from God because it is a small assignment, or simply because he got it in the first place? Of course not. Whether the assignment is large or small in our eyes, again, I qualify that, in our eyes, we still have to find out whether it's from God or not. And we need God to tell us that. We don't want to rule out an assignment, whether it's large or small, on the basis of our own preconceived ideas. And we will know whether it's from God through the relationship we have with Him. We can't bypass that relationship. That is our first and foremost focus. Imagine we have a plan to go fishing or watch Monday Night Football or go to the mall. And God confronts us, presents us with this opportunity to join Him in something that He wants to. And as you're praying, it's a dangerous thing to ask God, bring people in my life to witness to. God will do that. He will honor that request. That's what He wants to do. There are people out there that are hungry for the gospel. And Jesus says the fields are white for harvest, and He told us to pray for more laborers. There's more need than there are of us to go around. So God will honor that request. So imagine He presents me with the opportunity to join Him. And where we see God at work, that is God's invitation for us to join Him in that work. What do we do? Do we finish our plans and then try to fit God's plans into it next available time slot on our schedules? Or do we assume that since God already knew my plans, this new assignment certainly couldn't be from Him? Or do we try to work out a way to do what I want to do and what God wants me to do? Or do I adjust my plans to join God in what He's about to do? Now, a lot of people that we know, they're not going to interrupt a fishing trip or a game for anything in the world. And in their mind, they say they want to serve God, but they keep eliminating from their life anything that is going to interfere with their own plans. And their focus is so much on self that they don't recognize the times that God does come to them. Now, if we're God-centered, we will adjust our lives, we'll adjust our circumstances to what God wants us to do. And if we're God-centered, we will recognize God's voice when He speaks. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, God has a right to interrupt our lives. He is Lord. He is sovereign. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we gave Him the right to help ourselves to our lives anytime He wants to. We do not belong to ourselves. Now, we never really did. That was always an illusion. But we have bowed a knee to the Lordship to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, suppose that 5 times out of 10, when the master had something for the servant to do, the servant said, "I'm sorry, it's not really on my schedule." What do you think the master would do? Well, I'm guessing the master's going to bring some kind of discipline, some sort of corrective action. Now, if the servant didn't respond to that discipline, sooner or later that servant would find that the master no longer is coming to him with assignments. Now, you may be saying, And you hear people say this, I wish I could really experience God the way maybe John or Sue or someone does. I wish I could experience God that way. But the thing they're missing is that every time God has come to John or Sue or whoever this person is thinking about, John or Sue has adjusted their life to God and has been obedient. And when John and Sue have been faithful in the little assignments, God has given them more important ones. Now, if we're not willing to be faithful in little, God cannot give us larger tasks. And it's the smaller assignments that God has always used to develop our character. And God always develops the character to match the assignments he gives us. If God has a great task for us, and God has a great task for each one of us, he has a plan and purpose for us all, that we have to develop godly character to match that assignment before God can reveal that purpose to us. Now, as we think about these matters of lordship, and we think about God developing that character in us, what you've heard me talk about, being the best version of ourselves, the version that God has in mind for us, the people we were meant to be, who God had in mind when he created us. As we think about that, just kind of reflect on these questions. Don't answer them out loud, please. But think about what kind of assignment have I wanted the Lord to give me? Have I even wanted him to give me assignment? You know, have I been frustrated or disappointed in this area of my life? Can I think of a time when God wanted to use me on an assignment and I chose not to follow his leading? Sadly, I know that I can. I'd like to say just once or twice, but several times. Is the Holy Spirit saying anything right now to me about my character? If he is, what is it? Do my actions acknowledge Christ as Lord of my life? If not, what response do I need to make on Jesus' claims in my life as Lord right now? So God needs time to develop the character we have for his task. And when God tells us a direction, and when we accept that, when we understand it clearly, what we need to do is give all the time, God all the time he needs to make us the kind of person that he can trust with that task. We don't want to assume that the moment he calls us that we're necessarily ready. Think about it. And I know everybody that comes Wednesday nights can talk big stuff about this because we've talked about it. But think how long it was after God, through Samuel, anointed David king that David took the throne. It was maybe 10 to 12 years. So what was God doing in the meantime? He was building David's relationship with himself. As goes the king, so goes the nation. We cannot bypass the development of godly character. How long was it after God called the Apostle Paul that Paul went on his first missionary journey? Again, it was maybe 10 or 11 years. And the focus was not so much on Paul. The focus was on God. See, God has the gospel, and he wanted to get it out to redeem a lost world. And he wanted to use Paul in his ministry to the Gentile people. That would be us. So God needed that time to develop Paul and prepare him for that assignment. Now, is it for our sakes that God takes time to prepare us? It's not for our sakes alone, but it's also for the sakes of those that God wants to reach through us. For their sake, we have to give ourselves to the kind of relationship to God that we've been talking about. Then when God puts us in an assignment, or he brings that person into our path, he shows us a task, God will achieve everything through us that he wants to in the lives of those that we touch. Remember Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So let's look again at chapter 12, Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Oh, wait a minute. I jumped to 15. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Abram was obedient. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's sons and all the possessions that they had gathered and all the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed the land to the place of Shechem as far as the Terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved there from the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of God. So we see Abram's priority. He built an altar to the Lord. He calls to the Lord. He obeys the Lord. His priority is obedience to God. God calls him to do this thing. And we read these few verses. He's uprooting his entire life. He's leaving his family, his culture, leaving everything because the Lord told him to do that. And he's trusting in the promise that God has for him. God picked Abram to become father of the Jewish nation. If God chose the Jewish people to entrust with his word, with his commandments, and they would be the people that Messiah would be born through. Abraham became a blessing to all of us. So as we close, just kind of some summary statements. The first is thinking that the moment that God speaks to me, this is the very moment that God wants me to respond to him. I don't want to take time to think about it or debate it. When God speaks, that's the moment I respond to him. The moment that God speaks, this is the moment of his timing. And that God is going to develop my character to match the assignment he has for me. And that God has a right to interrupt my life because he is Lord. He is Lord of my life. When I accepted him as such, I gave him the right to help himself to my life anytime he chooses. So we'll go ahead and have a song of invitation. And as Pastor always says, this is an invitation for whatever need you have. If someone's out here and they have never taken the step of accepting Jesus as Lord, right now is the moment to do that. Don't wait. The Bible says now is the hour of salvation. We don't know what will happen. We hear people all the time. We make our plans. Family's driving on vacation. They're hit head on by a semi. We don't like to think about stuff like that. 2004, one of my best friends went in for routine surgery, and they put a patch on him. The dose was way too high, and it shut his respiratory system down, and he died. So we never know what will happen. Now is the hour of salvation. Or you may be here and say, well, there are those adjustments I want to make. There are those adjustments to God that the Holy Spirit's telling me that I need to make. Or you may have some other need. Whatever it is, we're here for you. Guys.